Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.roniezone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Another Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast voicemail show. So we're back. It's been a number of weeks since we've done just our regular voicemail show on Thursday. It's a little later, but
yeah,
that's okay.
It is.
So we will be talking about The Return.
Yes.
And it was kind of an extension of the Rumpelstiltskin backstory.
Yes, that
and
is true.
And we had some great scenes with August.
Yes.
And it looks as though perhaps he is Pinocchio.
Yeah.
So
There's no question in my mind. I don't see how anybody could still question it at this point.
Now, I know that Wayne has already said our names.
Has he? Okay.
He has.
Okay.
So, anyhow, I just wanted to toss out just a couple of things before we dive into the voicemail.
Okay.
I'm a bit of a werewolf movie fan.
Yes.
And when August, at the beginning of the episode, it reminded me a bit of the werewolf transformation scene in American Werewolf in London.
Okay.
And I believe that he was in bed, laying there, and it started and he rolled off onto the floor. I could be totally wrong. It's been a long time since I've seen the movie.
But you're talking about the werewolf, American
yes,
Werewolf. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
So that seemed very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then when he called whoever he called.
Which my guess would be Mother Superior.
Okay. So another thing we need to kind of remember.
Yes.
Is with Lost, we never really want to assume.
Correct.
Because we put together that if he was talking to somebody on the phone and then he met with Mother Superior, it must be her.
No, here's the thing. The reality is that most people would say he called Henry. Because Henry's the first person you see him with.
Okay.
That's why I say I think it was Mother Superior because Henry was too obvious.
Okay.
That's the only reason why I say that.
To me, I was wondering why he said, "Are you there?"
Yes.
Like someone wasn't speaking or they may be nervous about talking.
See, what I was thinking is, are you there? Can you hear me? Because maybe he thought he wasn't being clear, or he was wondering if they were where they would normally be found.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
But I'm just kind of
I don't know
laying that out there.
Yeah, I'm still going with it was Mother Superior.
I got a crazy theory up front before we dive into the voicemails.
Okay. Well, let's hear
it. I did see some oil cans.
Yes, you did.
On the shelves.
Yes.
In Mr. Gold's shop.
Yes.
With our friend August standing in front.
Uh-huh.
So maybe he's a tin man.
Hmm.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay.
For what it's worth.
I'm going to stick with Pinocchio.
I understand that. But I'm just, you know, Jeff Crazy Theory Man.
I know. People love that.
All right, let's see. Oh, and one more little thing is there are people in fairy tale land that want and use magic.
Yes.
There are other people who either want to not use magic or want magic to stop.
Hmm.
And I noticed that. Ella was a little nervous about it.
Yeah.
Remember when they had the pen and the quill?
Yes.
She said, but I don't know. We don't need to do this. They said, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. I don't know. I don't know. I'm nervous. And the same thing with Bay at the table talking to Horrible Stillskin.
Yes.
I don't want any magic. I want to get healed the normal way. Let's pour some ointment on my knee, whatever. So, okay. Just wanted to point that out. So, do you have any thoughts?
Not anything, you know, I mean, I'm sure stuff will surface as we listen to our lovely voicemails.
I think, now I know we have some, I know we have some charmers out there and some dairies.
Yes.
But I need to just say this, is that love sometimes needs a start over. And I was really, I did like the scene with David and Catherine. And it was like they were starting over.
Ooh, you just made some people really mad by that.
I understand that. But I, you know,
the funny thing is, I don't, it didn't feel like a start over to me. It was actually kind of annoying to me because here he's supposed to be so in love with Mary Margaret. He's going back to out of guilt.
I understand. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's going back out of guilt to go and kiss her on the forehead. If he really truly loved Mary Margaret all the way he says he does, he wouldn't have tried to kiss her on the forehead. That's just weird. Okay. I just found that weird. That's all just me, but I found it a little weird. I'm like, why do you care? I get that, well, we were married. Well, really? Because it didn't seem like you had a very happy marriage.
Okay, so we have both sides covered.
We
here.
Do.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure that the dairies will agree with me, is that that was kind of wackadoodle. And the whole thing turned into this, you know, she did this whole humble brag thing, and then all of a sudden he started flirting with her, and I'm like, what are you doing? I thought he was going to actually like kiss her for real and go, let's try again. And thankfully he didn't, but anyway.
Yeah, I did. See, I just, anyway, I noticed that she really wasn't going to, you know, let's give it another try. But I at least liked that. I don't know. It was a nice moment for what it's worth.
So, okay.
Okay. Here is our first voicemail.
Cool.
Hey, guys. It's Tyler, one of the things I was just thinking about while listening to the live show that I wasn't able to listen to live is when it comes to season length in terms of number of episodes and how long it takes us to actually watch them, I think I'm actually happy with the way it's been done this year, because can you guys imagine what the long hiatus would be like if we had all 22 episodes go in a row apart from like maybe Christmas and Easter off? We'd be long done with the season already and still be waiting and waiting and waiting until September. So this way they give us less of a huge jump. The reason I bring this up is because I was an avid Stargate watcher, and for the most part, they did half of the episodes from July through September, and then they would come back in March or April and do the back half of the season. So you were waiting like half of the year to watch the second half of the season. I much prefer the way Once Upon a Time is doing it to that method. So just thought I'd throw that out there as a, you know, be glad we're not getting it this way. So, and I'd also prefer more episodes, because that way they can stretch it out over a longer period of time. So, okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
The old how many episodes do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Answer and from the question. So
yeah. Well, and I kind of, on the one hand, I totally see where he's coming from. I do, because yeah, we had, what was it, a like 2-3 month hiatus for Walking Dead,
mm-hmm.
because they only had like a dozen episodes anyway, and in the whole season, right. and they played the first like 6 of them, and then we had like a 2-3 month episode, and I kind of got to the point where I was like, maybe I won't watch it when it comes back because I don't really care anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of glad that we're not getting huge chunks of hiatus, but yeah, when you have like 2-3 weeks and you're dying to know what's going on, it can be a little frustrating. So I totally get what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I agree. I would hate it. I would hate a much longer hiatus. That's for darn sure.
Yep.
So, and hopefully they'll go, you know, they have the option 22 is a typical, 22 to 24 is typical. They could go even longer. I'm hoping they'll go longer.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All righty. This is the next voicemail.
Hi there, this is Troy over with the Completely Comics podcast. Was watching last night's episode of Once Upon a Time to Return, and my wife made a good point as we were watching at the end of the show. Rumpel says, well, I guess it's Mr. Gold, he says, there's no magic in this world, and, you know, so you can be pointing that knife at me, but, you know, there's no magic in this world. And that's not necessarily true, my wife said, because, you know, original Sheriff Graham, you know, who was the huntsman, he was killed via magic when, you know, she crushed his heart, you know, going down the mausoleum. That was pretty magical. And just wondering what you all thought about that. Is that maybe something that Rumpel doesn't know? Because it seems he's pretty, you know, pretty powerful. You know, and it's all his plan. I wonder if he knows that. What do you guys think? Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Troy. I don't think we've had a...
Completely Comics podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Now I'm curious. I don't think we've heard from Troy before, have we?
No.
Okay. Well, that's...
First call from Troy.
Awesome. We love brand new calls. So, yeah, that is an interesting statement because he did say there's no magic here, which is funny because, yeah, it kind of does contradict a couple things we've been told. The Hatter even said, or Jefferson said,
right.
You guys want a magical solution, but you won't see it when it's staring you right in the face. So I kind of wonder, and where did he go? He disappeared. So there's definitely some merit to what his wife was saying, is that... yeah, there's probably some sort of magic in this world. But again, it's not the magic they're used to, is what I think.
Mm.
That's my take on it, is that, you know, Rumpel doesn't realize it because he's used to his dark magic and that's not here. So I don't know.
Well, that's a good point.
It is really good. It is really interesting, though.
That's what the Blue Fairy said. There's mm-hmm. light, there's good magic and bad magic. And, because she specifically said, I can send him to a place where his magic basically isn't. So
what she actually said, because I took some copious notes this last time we watched, is, you know, she was talking to Balefire and she's like, I can't turn him back to the man he was. I can send him someplace where he can't use his powers. That's what she said first. He can't use his powers.
Right.
So that was her words. Balefire's one who said no magic. And then she said, but then she said later, not jail, a place without magic. Without doesn't mean it's not possible.
Right.
So, and then she said, what ails him is in our realm. His powers do not belong here. So.
Well, yes. let's break it down a little farther here.
Okay.
Is, yes, she did have the heart. Regina could crush the heart and take care of Graham.
Yes.
Mr. Gold can also bewitch a windmill to get David to remember his either false past or something like that with Catherine. So there are, and maybe this bewitching or hypnotism or whatever it is, isn't magic.
Right.
But he seems to be pretty versed with it. So
I think it's very interesting. I think there is magic in our world that we just refuse to see. And that's what I think that they're driving at.
All right. Are you ready?
Yep.
For the next voicemail?
I am.
Buckle up.
Okay.
It's your friend and mine.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. It is not a celebrity, but it's your favorite. I'm a free bitch. Colleen. And just wanted to say, love your show. You're awesome. And keep doing what you're doing. Favorite podcast online. Probably the only one I ever listen to. But, yeah, just wanted to call and say hi. And then also, I believe someone asked me to say Pample the Lamp in Spanish. So I guess I should say that, shouldn't I? So it's El Pim con el Limp. There you go. So much love to everybody. Big love. Like always, Evil Regal, shout out. To the T, love the Queen, you know that. And I'll be sending a new email this Friday. So keep an eye out for that. Love you guys. Peace out. Mucho amor.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
That is awesome. She's become, you know, it's funny is she has actually become a little celebrity in our little podcast community. Everybody loves I'm a Free Bitch.
You know, yeah.
They do. She's fantastic. We love her.
And she's real cool about it.
She is.
The love comes back at her, boy. Mm-hmm. And it's just thank you, girl, for calling into this podcast. You know we love you.
That's awesome. You know. And I do love the fact that she actually she pulled out the Spanish. She said that's it in Spanish. Right. I love it. That's fantastic.
Well, you let Mama Regal know that there is always room for all the Evil Regals on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You let her know that. And we were sitting up in the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to find out who those two Evil Regals were.
Oh, yeah.
On the front row of the Paley Center event.
Yeah, yeah. The ones that had the t-shirt.
Uh-huh. So let's find out who these Evil Regals are, because they gave a shirt to Lana.
Yeah, they did.
So I know a bunch of people watch that. So, but it'd be cool to at least follow them on Twitter and say, hey.
Oh, yeah. But, totally. You
know. Anyway, so Ima, thanks for calling in. And we all look forward to reading your email.
I know.
And it's a highlight of the show. So anyway, much love back. You know that.
Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely.
All right. Well, I don't think I can go on. We've already had a great show. You know. Oh, man. Okay. Here is the next voicemail.
Next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. It's Dave from Michigan. I wanted to call you guys because I just finished the first reaction show, and I do have a lot of theories that I want to talk about, but I just wanted to call and say one thing about the show that I think you guys missed on, and that is that you thought that they had put Catherine down in a dungeon with Belle, like Regina had put her there, but and halfway through the episode, Regina showed utter shock or surprise to Mr. Gold when she found out that Catherine was still alive, because she thought that when he said something tragic, he was going to kill her. And suddenly she realized everything was going to point back to her. She realized it was all a setup. So she was not in the same dungeon as Belle and Nurse Ratchet and whoever else was down there. She was in the cabin in the woods. And I just thought I wanted to point that out before because I probably would forget it by the time I actually get around to actually calling with all my theories. So, all right, I'll talk to you guys soon. Love the episode. Fantastic episode. All right, bye.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dave. And yes, I agree with him.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that we thought for sure, we were thinking that was a possibility. I know that came up a couple times, but yeah, it kind of made sense, but then he makes an excellent point that, yeah, Regina was really surprised to find out that Catherine was still alive. So, yeah, I don't think she was there in the basement.
Let's see. I'm going to play this voicemail. Oh, I think I'm going to save this one.
Oh, are you now?
I'm going to save this one right here that I'm looking at for Saturday night.
Oh, man.
So give people reason to listen in live.
Tease.
Uh-huh. That's the reason I'm teasing. Oh, I'm a better get out the pad. There's a reason I'm teasing. That's good. That is goal right there.
Woo. No, that's pimp with a limp.
Oh, kids.
Oh, man.
Oh, the kids and people that are listening. Just hang on. We're having a little fun. It's okay. It's all right.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. Here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Brenda from Whiteville, Tennessee. Just had a theory I wanted to run by you about August being Pinocchio. I believe that he is Pinocchio. But I'm wondering if maybe it's a possibility that either his dad, Geppetto, cut a deal and said, okay, I will make the wardrobe if Pinocchio can go through and be safe from the curse. And maybe he went through the wardrobe after it was done, before they put Emma in there, and possibly he got to Storybrooke first and was able to find Emma on the side of the road. And then maybe he went off somewhere, and then he knew how to get back to Storybrooke when he needed to come back to try to help convince Emma that she actually is the savior and help her to believe. Just wanted to see what you thought about that theory. I will talk with you later. Bye.
Thank you very much, Brenda.
Yes. Thanks, Brenda. Yeah, the interesting thing is we know from this episode that August apparently had a difficult separation with his father. That's what the Blue Fairy said. Now, could she have been lying, maybe? I don't know, because she said, we don't do that, but then he Rumpel caught her in a couple of lies, so, or sort of half-truths. So, I would say there's a very real possibility that, yeah, he did make a deal with Gold somehow. But remember, Gold was in the jail at that time. He was in that prison. And he didn't have his magic. Not to say that that wouldn't have still mattered. And so maybe he really did, you know, somehow Geppetto snuck down there, made a deal with Rumpel, and got him out.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, here's the other thing. Ooh, now that I'm going to feed off of her little theory a little bit, because this just came into my head.
Okay.
What if he did go down there and say, I want to save my son from this? And Rumpel said, I need your son to be saved because he's the one who's got to find the savior.
Hmm.
Right? Because if he didn't find her, what would have happened to her?
Right.
And maybe there was a chance that Rumpel would have had a little bit better control over, you know, the fact that he could have kept tabs, sort of, so to speak, knowing that he had a fairy tale character who could get her where she needed to go. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know the whole story of what happened with when Pinocchio, or when the 7-year-old boy found her.
Right.
So interesting. And who knows, maybe he did make a deal with Gold. I don't know. But yeah, there was definitely a difficult separation between the two of them. Pinocchio and his father, or August and his father.
I want to try and lay out all my crazy Pinocchio theories right now.
Okay.
So if, in fact, August is Pinocchio, so he could either be turning back into wood as he's dying.
Right.
Or going with the Pleasure Island idea, he's lying his pants off and doing all this evil stuff, learning all this stuff, trying to get the Dark One's power for his own good. But perhaps there's part of him that wants the power, like Rumpelstiltskin did, for different reasons.
Okay.
Okay. So I was also thinking, since they had the little donkey right next to his typewriter.
Right. It's paperweight.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he is also turning into a donkey, possibly.
Hmm.
So I'm just kind of throwing that, going along with the cartoon. Right? Because we don't know specifically. Even though he stood, and I thought it was funny, he stood next to this big pallet full of wood.
Yeah.
You know, with Henry.
Right.
It was like they're kind of going,
he slumped against the tree at the end.
Wood, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I think if things go darker, maybe if he does, like it looks like he's trying to get Emma to believe, maybe before she really kind of takes a leap, Dr. Whale, representing Monstro, and I think I've mentioned it before,
right,
captures August, locks him up next to Belle, and then Marco, being Geppetto,
right,
goes and rescues him.
Hmm.
So anyway, just kind of following the whole
because
cartoon
thing. No, that totally that one's a little more plausible, I think,
because Marco does have access to dynamite.
I think he does,
because he brought that up.
Yeah.
So
when they were for the mine shaft, wasn't that the mine shaft episode? Yeah. That's a little more plausible that, you know, Dr. Whale somehow will get a hold of August and lock him up next to Belle. And
because he's been awfully not doing anything. He's, you know, he's the doctor and different things, calling Regina, but we haven't seen him.
He's creepy.
Trying to pick up Ruby.
Don't you remember?
Well,
he's creepy,
out,
McCreepy Pants.
Right.
That was Ima's name for him. It was Creepy McCreepy Pants.
And then he went on a date, and according to Mary Margaret, a one night stand.
Yeah.
So, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair
he's
enough.
Just creepy. But, and by the way, David Anders is a fantastic actor because he's very believable as a creepy, and I'm pretty sure he's not like that in real life.
No.
So, like I said, I think that's a pretty plausible theory. But, and as far as back to Brenda's theory, seeing as how we went off on some long tangent there, I do think that there's a possibility that somehow Rumpel possibly made the deal with Geppetto to get Pinocchio out safely so he wouldn't be impacted by the curse.
I agree. I've read ahead.
Oh, super.
In the episode little blurbs that he put out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just stop right there.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Let's go to the next
voicemail. I'll let you sit with what you just said.
Yeah, I already know where you're going with this. And
okay.
Anyway.
All right. So here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Pauline. This is Mason. It's great to hear that the show is back on with no more interruptions. So I got a slug of new theories. When I noticed that when August was snooping around the storage room at Rumpel's shop, there was a see with the old Mickey Mouse phone.
Okay.
Also, I noticed Lampwick from Pinocchio in August's hotel room when Rumpel did a little payback snooping. And what I like to think is that maybe since Lampwick was not turned into a boy after they left Pleasure Island in the book, he remained a donkey and he was sold into slavery and pretty much worked to death. So what I like to think is that the paperweight of the donkey could be a nod that that August may be Pinocchio, but as Jane Espion said, there's multiple clues, and as the producers themselves said that somebody got August's identity right. I was shocked and betrayed when August claimed that he was Bay. There's a chance that he could still be Bay, considering that he mentioned a fairy. So obviously it was the blue fairy that told Rumpel, or that told Bayfire about the knife, possibly. So, and I was right that Rumpel did go and help the children with the ogre war. So that was another story of mine that I had happen. other than that, though, I'm looking forward to the next three episodes. The finale should be exciting. And next week we get more Blue Fairy, hopefully, because we get Pinocchio. But anyways, have a good day, guys. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Mason, much. And it's nice to get a good theory.
Yes,
get it right. So it's fun.
Yes. Now, unfortunately, part of that cut out. But I'm curious what he was talking about before. But yeah, the Mickey Mouse phone and the whole thing. Now, I do agree with him that the donkey could be a representation of Lampwick. And my thought was that it's a reminder to him of what happens when he lies. Because that's what happened was he kept lying. He kept lying. His nose grew. But then the whole being turned, he got... Anyway, he could end up as a donkey. He didn't want that, right? Nobody wants to be a donkey. He wants that.
Yeah.
As far as him still being Bay, I'm going to say no way.
Yeah.
No way, no way, no way, no
right.
way. It was very obvious that he is definitely not Balefire. No question. Now, the fact is the blue fairy, or he said a fairy told him. That would be where I believe Mother Superior, who is the blue fairy, told him about the knife because she knew about it from Balefire. Because Balefire found out about the knife from Rumple himself. Sat and told him about the knife and what the power was and what it did. And that was how if whoever kills him would take that power.
Right.
So the Blue Fairy did not tell Balefire about the knife. Bay may have told her. Or he could have told some other fairy. But bottom line is, I'm pretty sure the Blue Fairy knows, because again, the other thing that they said about the Blue Fairy, and let me look at my notes here because this is important to note.
I need to look up how to spell copious.
C-O-P-I-O-U-S.
I'm just kidding.
So when Rumple and Bay go, and Rumple decides he's going to take care of the mute maid, Moraine joins him after the boys leave, and he's like, oh, I'm dangerous. And she's like, I'm not scared of Rump. He was great on the battlefield like a miracle. And then he's like, oh, he's getting worse every day. And she says, well, you need to deal with Rolgrim, an ancient being that rules the night, the original power. That's exactly what she said to him. So if that's the case, she would know how he got his power. Mm-hmm. So I don't think anybody had to tell her. That's just my personal opinion.
So the only thing I was going to add is that the Blue Fairy did know Geppetto.
Yeah, she totally knew Geppetto.
So
she knew Geppetto as a boy.
Right. So it's not a stretch that she could talk to Pinocchio.
Absolutely.
Possibly.
She turned him... Look, if they follow the story the way we expect them to, because this would make the most sense, she's the one who turns the wooden puppet Pinocchio into a real boy.
Right.
Pretty sure that's what we're going to see next week.
Just like we saw
this
ride.
Weekend. Yep. So I'm pretty sure. So that being the case, she could have told Pinocchio about the knife very easily and very likely because she was his... Anyway, she was his fairy.
Here is the next voicemail.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen and everyone listening. It's Karen from Chicago, a.k.a. MarvelGirl83 on Twitter. I just want to start off by, again, thanking all the cast members that call into the podcast and are so active on Twitter and forums and things like that. It's really cool that they're so outspoken because in support of the show, because that makes us as fans even more supportive of the show. So about the return, as Holly Mom Kim pointed out to me in the pawn shop team, and I saw it again the second or third time I watched it, there are oil cans behind in the back shelf next to the shoe sign box when August is talking to Gold, a.k.a. Tin Man with a limp. That along with the Kansas license plate brings up the whole Wizard of Oz Tin Man theory, but I'm still holding on to the Pinocchio one as well. In the hospital scene, does anyone else think Dr. Whale acting nice is even more creepy than him acting creepy? I think so. Moving along to the party, I love Emma's use of the word diagonally because that is totally what Gold is doing. Sorry, Evil Regals, but Mama Regal got totally burned by Gold this episode. I also love the use of Emma's line about the Enigma wrapped in typewriter wrapped in stubble. Great dialogue there. Also, it was great seeing from Team Seven Hala in the party. That was great. And my favorite thing, though, was the look on Mary Margaret's face that she gave Emma. It was a don't you even dare let your father in this house look. That was pretty funny. Last thing, I officially think if I'm going to do a crime spree, it's going to be in Storybook because it is the easiest place to break into. Seriously, all the old lock keys, and there's no security alarms. Easy, really easy place, just saying. So that's all for me. Lots of love, Jeff and Colleen and the cast and crew. Team 7, Deary's First, Evil Regals, and all the Wonsters. Bye.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. Yes, Dr. Whale in the hospital, he's creepy. But he was ultra nice. You're right. He was very nice, very sweet, and very accommodating. But yeah, he's going to end up being a creep, unfortunately, I think.
But now to tie in a little bit to that hospital scene, I noticed something very
interesting about the hospital scene. So when David walked in, and he's going over to Catherine, almost said Karen, when he's going over to Catherine and he's going to lean down and kiss her, there was a nurse attending to a patient in the bed next to Catherine's. She was the tiniest little thing I've ever seen. She was just a short little thing. She was cute. She was adorable. But I started thinking, okay, possibly Thumbelina or possibly another little fairy. Just a thought. I noticed that. So that was kind of funny. Let's see. What else did Karen bring up? Talk points with me.
Tin Man, but she's still holding on to the Pinocchio.
Yes. Yes. Now, and that is true. That is true. There's a possibility that if it's not him that's a Tin Man, I wouldn't be surprised if we see somebody else who's the Tin Man come up. Because, again, they've got so many places they can go with this story, and we may not see it this season. Or maybe they'll reveal that he's part Tin Man, part that. If he's Pinocchio and he's made of wood, I don't know if he's going to be tin. So that's just my only hesitation with that. But we'll see. You just never know how they're going to play that out.
Interesting. There was a copper phone there.
There was indeed. All copper's right. Not tin.
I understand that, but maybe.
But it was a copper. Yes, it was a copper phone. It was very interesting.
So, yeah, she was given Team 7 a holla.
Yep.
And
we loved seeing three of our boys in the in the party. And by the way, in that party, I don't know if you picked up on this. At one point in time, they pan kind of around the room and you see Ruby standing there next to Archie.
Ruby. She looks so pretty.
She did. She's gorgeous. She's
and
a beautiful
she's
young girl.
She's worn that red dress before to work. Mm. So she came right after work and went to the party.
Okay. But yeah, really, I wasn't focusing on Ruby.
I was.
I know you were. But there was a gentleman standing behind her and I didn't recognize him. And I kind of wondered, who's that guy? Who's he going to turn out to be? Is he going to turn out to be anybody? I would assume so, but you know. Anyway.
Was it Michael?
No, it wasn't Michael.
Okay.
No. This was definitely not Michael.
I want to know the joke that Mig either heard or was telling. Mig was laughing a lot.
He was
sipping on the punch. And at one point he had the hors d'oeuvre plate or some kind of plate in his hand. Mig was having a good time.
He was partying up, man. But he was very bashful. Like when she came he was
bashful.
No, he was he had a little bit of a bashful thing going when he was waiting for the punch to be handed to him.
Well, I'm telling you, bashful with a little punch in him. Lost the bash. So
he did. Okay. He did. And then what was the last thing we talked about that she talked about in her?
Oh, she was giving a little, sad out to the evil Regals.
Because
Regina got took.
And I agree with her. Oh, that's right. I agree with her completely. I thought that was fantastic. What do you think I'm playing? I'm for Regina or against Regina? I think you're diagonally.
Right.
I thought that was brilliant. And that's very true because Regina actually did say to him, we've been in this together from the beginning, you and I. And he goes, oh, really?
Right.
Like, because his choice of words are so brilliant. And he pointed that out to her when he said, you said something tragic. didn't say kill her. You said tragic. And an abduction is pretty tragic, wouldn't you say? And I thought that was just, ugh, it makes me love him even more.
Am I the only person that thinks that August may have had his head cut off in Wonderland?
You might be.
Every time I look at his neck, because a lot of times he'll have, you know, a little something tied around his neck. But then when he doesn't, I look and there's a line around his neck and I'm going, you know, off with his head.
I don't and that's a possibility. Maybe. I'm thinking more, and I'm more inclined to think that puppets are not all made of one piece of wood typically.
Okay.
So unless he was not made as a puppet, in other words, if he was made out of a single piece of wood, which we'll find out next week, typically the head is attached to the body so it can be movable. Otherwise, right. It's stiff.
Fair enough.
That's one thing I think. That was my first thought. Again, because I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt he is Pinocchio.
Let's change the name to Jeff's Crazy A Theories. So, all right. Here is the next voicemail from someone who created one of the funniest bingo cards for the live show I have ever seen. Look, some people might say, well, Jeff, aren't you offended? I am not offended.
Not even.
Somebody took the time to listen enough to us talk about Once Upon a Time and jot down the things that we say over and over. Jeff gets choked up in there. Just Bear With Us is in there. All kinds of stuff.
Me touching the microphone.
You bumping in the microphone. That is some funny stuff.
It's fantastic.
So, you know,
I loved it. I thought it was great. In fact, I would love it if everybody played along, but you have to make your own card
right. With
random, you know, put those same words in other random spots. You can't use the same spot, otherwise everybody'd win.
Right.
But I think it'd be fun, just as a fun game, to see if anybody could actually play the game and win. And we won't do it on purpose. We'll just be our normal selves.
Yeah.
But I think that'd be hilarious. So I'd like to play the game because I think I could.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's like a drinking game.
It is.
But it's on a bingo card.
It's fantastic.
And I want to thank Greg right before I play his voicemail for that. Thank you, dude, so much.
Yep.
So here we go.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff. This is Greg. I'm at Greg Mills on Twitter. Long-time listener, first-time caller. And I just had to call in and try to put a hole in this Pinocchio theory. I know that come this Sunday I may look like a fool for doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I think that when we're looking at Pinocchio, we have two things to consider. One is his age, and one is his state. Is he human or is he a puppet? Both of these things are going to be affected by the curse. Either it's affected or it isn't, and you can't sort of pick and choose the things that you want to be affected by the curse. You know, it kind of has to be some consistency to it, I think. So first off, his age. You know, we saw him as a young boy when he was in the war room shortly before the Dark Curse came. If he were swept up with the rest of the fairy tale characters, then he should still be young. Everyone in the storybook was locked in time until Emma showed up, and that was 28 years, and that's when she started to break down the curse. If he was saved from the curse somehow, then he should be in his 30s. That would be his age in the war room plus about 28 years. So, you know, we all agree if August W. Booth is Pinocchio, then he has to be outside of the curse. So then we have to look at, all right, is he in Storybrooke or in our world? Is he going to be human or is he going to be a puppet? I think we can look at Archie for a hint there. Archie is a human. He was previously a cricket who was previously a human. He was a cricket by magic in Fairyland, and Storybrooke is a place that needs magic. So he's human here because of the lack of magic. Human is his natural state. Pinocchio's natural state is wood. He was a puppet who by magic was made a boy and was swept up in the curse. If he was swept up in the curse with all the other fairy tale characters, it would logically follow that he's a puppet again. But if he was saved from the curse, then he's still in a world that needs magic. And therefore, I would think he would still revert back to being a puppet. And a lot of people have rightly theorized that that's exactly what's happening to him with the shin splints and so forth. He's turning back into wood now. Fine, but he's been okay for 28 years. If he needs magic to remain human, how has he done it without magic for this long a period of time? So the only thing that's changed is that Emma, again, has come to Storybrooke. The curse has started to break down, and maybe that's why he's in the process of turning back into wood. But if August is Pinocchio, then you have to argue that he's affected by the dark curse and not affected by it. He's affected in that it somehow allowed him to stay human until Emma showed up and Storybrooke, and he's not affected in terms of his age. And even if you want to hang on to this Pinocchio theory and say that both of those conditions are true, we should see Archie Hopper slowly turning back into a cricket. So I can't wait to hear what your thoughts are. I love the show, and thank you guys for everything that you do. Bye-bye.
Thanks, finished Greg. His thought right before the cutoff.
That's fantastic.
First of all, thanks for the bingo card. Second, you did it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, I think I can answer his theory because, I see exactly where he's going with this, and he has some definitely valid points. But here's where I'm gonna throw out my theory. He is Pinocchio. He did not come. He wasn't affected by the curse originally because he got here before the other fairy tale characters, before the curse was actually invoked. So that's why he was able to age, because again, Emma was able to age because she got out before the curse hit. Right? So if that's the case, then he would have aged to about 35, right? 7 years old, roughly, and 28. That's 35. He's 35. The reason why he is reverting back to his wooden self is because his original state, as Greg pointed out, is wood. He was not a human being to begin with. Magic turned him into a real boy. So that right there says he's reverting back to his original state. And why? Because the curse is being broken. It's starting to be broken down. So the fact that the curse is starting to be broken down, he's now reverting back to, because there is no magic here to keep him a real boy. You know what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He needs the magic to keep him a real boy. There is no magic. That's why he's reverting back to wood. What?
Go ahead.
Okay. Why is it affecting, why is the fact that Archie Hopper not turning back into a cricket right now? Because magic made him a cricket. And if there's no magic here, he can't go back to being a cricket here in Storybrooke because Storybrooke has no magic. So he's that's not his natural state. His natural state is a human being. So he actually, in essence, answered his own questions and answered his own theory and blew holes in his own theory.
Well, okay.
But he did it very well, and he did a logical talking through. I think he just, anyway. That's my theory. I'm holding on to that for dear life.
Greg, the thing I really do appreciate is you came at it mm-hmm. almost like a lawyer.
Absolutely. It was fantastic.
That was the coolest thing, is that if this is true, then this cannot be true, and you just kind of just stepped it out like that.
Right. But then I think he almost talked himself out of what he danced around the reality of what I'm quite convinced.
Okay. All right.
I'd hate to go up against him in a courtroom because he'd be tough to go. But I'm telling you, I mm-hmm. should have been a lawyer. And I think, like I said, I see exactly how he got to where he got to it. He's got points, very valid points. Mm-hmm. But I think there's two little facts that we need to throw in there, and then that makes sense.
Okay. All right.
That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
Here is the next voicemail.
Hey, guys. It's Dave in Michigan. I'm just calling after watching the show again last night. And I just loved this episode. I thought this was, you know, I'd do it again. Thought I had a favorite episode, and then this one comes on, and I think this one is my favorite episode. I'm probably going to do that for the rest of the season. A couple of things that stuck out at me is that now we know that Bay is in our world from this episode. But we don't know when he came into our world. I think it's really going to point to the fact that he's either one of two people. He's either a 7-year-old boy who found Emma, which means that in all the time that spanned in fairy tale world, it was only a split second from when he fell through the wormhole, whatever you want to call it, the bean hole, to the time that Rumble made them all there through the curse. The other option is that Bay is Henry's father. And I think either of those two options would be awesome to find out in the future. I don't think we're going to see him this year. I think this was a good story thread to leave dangling for the rest of the season. I love Robert Carlyle. I think that he is amazing. So, you know, all of the normal episodes you see him in, he's great. But just the way that he felt like different people again in this episode. And by far, my favorite line of the night is when was when Bay says to him, she was a mute. She couldn't say anything. And he looks right at him and says, even mutes can draw a picture. It was just very, very funny to me. There was a handful of other things that I noticed. But, I mean, the only other thing that I can think of at the moment is the Blue Fairy. I think the Blue Fairy is knows what's going on. And I say that because we now know from this episode that she is the most powerful thing in the world, or at least according to Moraine or Marine or whatever the girl's name was. And so we know that she is all-powerful with fairy magic, and I think that's why she is Mother Superior. And I'm not sure if that's why Rumpel doesn't like her, or if it's just a holdover from when he was in Fairy Tale World and he thinks she's the reason that Faye is gone, whether or not she knows it, and she's holding that animosity the same way Regina does towards Mary Margaret. But I think she knows, and I think she was in cahoots with August, but I'm not sure why, other than...
All right, he called back. You want to cover anything?
Let's cover this first. Okay. Let's get this one out of the way first. Okay. So let's start talking about Balefire. I see where he went with that, with the whole Balefire being the little boy who found Emma, but here's the problem with that. The only problem with that is Balefire is 13 years old. 14 years old. He can't be the 7-year-old. Because he wouldn't have gone back in time 7 years. So that's the only reason why I say he can't be that. But I do agree that he is in our world. And I think that is a fantastic theory that he is, of course, now grown up enough. He could be Henry's father. That would be amazing. That would be pretty unbelievable. And I agree. I don't think we're going to see that this season. The next thing is, and I also don't believe that he's in Storybook right now.
Can I tell you, I love when Dave said he fell through the bean hole.
Yes.
Dave, you know we got love for you, but that was funny. Fell through the bean hole.
Oh, you're going to
shut ranks up. That ranks up there with Minnie Jenny. So.
Minnie Jenny and Pimp with a Limp.
I'm telling you, somebody's coming for you. Just fell through the bean hole anyway.
Yes. So, God. Now you got me laughing. Okay.
Woo-wee. It's okay. Late. Oh, my God.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Okay, so what was the next thing now that I'm all discombobulated? Thank you.
Oh, Blue Fairy.
Blue Fairy.
We love the Blue Fairy.
Blue Fairy. She's so fantastic. Mm-hmm. She's beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's absolutely gorgeous.
Yes, ma'am.
Blue Fairy, yes. She, Roel Gorham, and the girl's name is Moraine. Roel Gorham is the most powerful... The original power. She's it. She's the bomb. She knows everything. And that's why, she is the Mother Superior. And I do agree with you. I think she's working with August. I think she knows exactly what's going on. I'm pretty sure that he called her in the beginning of the episode. That's why I'm convinced that's who he called.
Hey, I got a crazy theory.
Another one?
What if the Blue Fairy... Okay, because... It says the fairies. Well, I was just thinking, and this is crazy, is that maybe she was in love with someone, and that's how the dark power got started, is he broke off.
So somehow, she created the dark power?
No. No, someone shared it, but took it and then distorted it. Because my question is, it's like with anything, how did evil start? You know, if everything started, it's all good and happy, how did evil begin? So I, anyway,
right.
just
Right.
I just want to kind of toss that out okay. there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was
Blue Fairy we're talking.
Blue Fairy. Yep. No, I we'll tuck that away as Jeff's crazy theory. And yeah, I'd be interested to see her backstory and see if there is a backstory for her. That's really all I had to say about the Blue Fairy because I was done.
Okay. Because she warned Nova
mm-hmm.
about falling in love
mm-hmm.
and ruining her life.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe she knew.
Well, yeah.
It's either possibility. About it.
From personal or experience or she's been else. Seeing it with so many other right. people. Okay. So, yeah. Yes.
So I think that was it.
In that particular, and then he called back.
Yes.
Okay, let's hear the other half.
Yep.
Hey, it's Dave from Michigan again, finished up my thought. I can't think of the only reason I can think of that the Blue Fairy would be helping August if she knows the truth. I think the only reason for that would be that he's Pinocchio. You know, because how much the Blue Fairy had to do with Pinocchio becoming a real boy and Jiminy Cricket and Geppetto and all that. So we will see where it goes. I'm looking forward to next week's episode, and I can't wait to hear all of your thoughts on this and all the little theories that I missed. So, see you guys.
Thanks, Dave. Totally agree. She would have helped because he's Pinocchio and he would know her. And I agree. I'm very convinced. She knows exactly what's going on. There's a few people in town that know who they are and what's really going on. And there's a few that don't. A number of them that don't, looks like. So.
Okay. Here is dun, 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 the last voicemail. Here we go.
Hi, Colleen and Jeff. It's Karen. I have been puzzled by something all week, and I think I'm missing something and I'm not getting it, and my true blondness is showing, or I'm just going to need you guys to explain it to me. Why would August lie to Rumpelstiltskin about who he is? And if if August is Pinocchio, pretending to be somebody else is a lie, and he keeps saying, I don't lie, so something's up, and I'm not getting it, and I need you guys' help. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Karen.
So, this is what I think.
Sorry.
Is perhaps we are seeing the Pinocchio that was either in Pleasure Island or maybe from the original Pinocchio story. The original Pinocchio story was a rascal.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, from what I just thought just right now, Pinocchio pulled a Rumpelstiltskin on Jiminy Cricket in the original story.
Okay.
So he was not a nice person.
No, he was a little brat boy.
So
they toned him down for the Disney movie.
Right. So what I think is he's lying to get what he wants.
Okay, so this is literally how this went down. When Rumpel or Mr. Gold realized he was not Balefire, because he knew that Balefire would never have tried to control him with the dagger, because Balefire hated the dagger, hated the what it represented, hated the magic. He wouldn't have tried to control him with it. When Mr. Gold confronted August about why he was trying to do it, he said, "You know, there aren't very many survivors with me. Your chances of survival with me, if you know." Who I am, then you know who I am, and your chance of survival is very slim. So why would you take the risk? And he said, I'm dying anyway.
Right.
And then that's when it took Mr. Gold by surprise. He was like, wait, what do you mean?
Okay.
And he said, I need magic so that I won't die. So that's why he lied to him. He lied to him because he knew that he had to get the dagger in order to control the Dark One. right? That's a known fact. If you control the dagger, if you own the dagger, you control the dark one.
Right.
You kill the dark one, you take on the dark one's power. That's kind of the rule. He knew that if he took the dagger and owned it, he could control the dark one. He didn't want the dark one's power because he knew that would probably be too much. But he did want the dark one to help him stay alive.
Okay.
That's why he did it. That's okay. Why he lied to him. And he lied to him because he knew that if he tried to tell him he was Pinocchio, if he tried to tell him, hey, I'm Pinocchio, I'm going to turn back into a... He knew that Gold would not want to, you know, use... Right. He would not want to use his magic.
Or deal him out of it or something.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So he tried tricking him into believing that he was his son so that he would do anything for him.
Yeah.
In essence.
Yeah.
That's why he did that.
Okay. I just want to kind of throw out the evil side of Pinocchio too.
Well,
because we get stuck on the, you know, happy go lucky. So anyway,
totally agree. But I don't think that was the driving factor in this. I think the driving factor is he's seriously terrified that he's going to turn into wood. He's going to die.
Right.
He doesn't want to die because I think he knows if he dies in Storybook, he won't live in fairy tale world. So he's trying to stay alive long enough so that he will end up in fairy tale world.
So who told him and who told the person that told him about the knife?
I believe the blue fairy told him about the knife and she knows about the knife because she probably knew who the original dark one was.
Okay. All right.
Because she knows everything. She's the ultimate. She's the... What was the word they said?
It was ultimate power. Original power.
Da, 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 da. Oh, my notes exactly.
Ms. Copius.
An ancient being that rules the night.
Okay.
The original power.
Yep.
Ancient being that rules the night. That's an interesting way to describe her.
Okay.
So she knows everything.
I hope we answered Karen's question. I think we did.
I think so.
So that's it, folks. Thanks so much.
You know, before we go, though, we've glossed over it and nobody's brought it up. And I think it's important enough to say, okay, for two things. One, there were some seriously amazing dialogues in this episode. Yeah. I totally agree with everyone. I loved this episode. So good on so many levels. The dialogues between Regina and Gold, between August and Gold, between Rumple and Bay, between Bay and the Blue Fairy. Unbelievable dialogue. Go back and rewatch it again. Pinpoint some of these. I mean, like, I could sit here and talk for another hour about the notes I took. So, amazing dialogue. Fantastic. Over the top. Great episode. And by the way, Jane Espenson is the writer of this episode. So, she gets like 1,000 gold stars in my book for this. Yeah. Great. But then the one thing that everybody kind of glossed over, which was like such a just moment at the end, was when Regina and Sydney are in the jail or the sheriff's office and he's trying to confess. And it's the most unbelievable, ridiculously fake confession ever.
Right.
Regina has to prompt him at one point. And the other thing.
Yep.
You know, like, see, I'm innocent. See, look, it totally wasn't me. And then when Emma says, a word in the hall, please, that was fantastic. She goes out there and they have this conversation. She's like, you are a sociopath. And then I love when Regina tries to interrupt her and she goes, I'm talking. You're a sociopath and you have done all these things. And guess what? I'm now going to, you tried to take what, the thing I love. And guess what? Now I'm going to do it to you.
Right.
I'm taking my son back. Don't. That was like the most amazing, we've all just kind of glossed over it. So I want to bring that out because that's going to be a key that I have a feeling that was a very key moment and a key point that's going to escalate things to an interesting level.
Yep.
So just.
And I wonder who they'll call in a witness when Emma starts to take it to court to get her son back.
It'll be interesting. Be real interesting.
Maybe Archie Hopper?
Maybe.
Just saying. Because we know that from Still Small Voice. He already
said that in a court of law. Yeah. There's no way they wouldn't give him back to Emma.
But then my question is, who's going to be the judge?
Don't know. Don't know.
So, lots of questions.
Lots and lots of questions. But anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. So, cool. That was the big important thing that I had.
Nice big twist. Mm-hmm. Kind of a final arc for the last two episodes, hopefully. Yep. And then we will probably see some type of an initiation of the proceeding for the custody.
Yeah.
And then that'll be one of the cliffhangers.
So. It's a possibility. Yep. I would not be surprised. So.
Hi there. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
So it's been a huge week. I don't want to go on and on, but the Magic 24/7 radio was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the show on there. And just the surprises keep coming in for the live show. So be sure you tune in, and we will talk to you soon.
All right.
See you guys.
Bye.